on a shadow that sits right over top of our community. We want to shine a bright light on that and expose it for what it is and learn to heal from it. So this is one of the big first steps that we want to do to address that. So I want to again thank everybody for coming out and joining on us and giving yourself an opportunity to heal, because we're all going to have an opportunity to heal today. Thank you.
Though the seriousness of the day was prevalent in the moments where we stopped and listened, children continued to play, and people held each other in acts of love and support. People would come out of their houses to wave and smile at us as we walked by, and the feeling of how close the community of Whitsett is what permeated the day. We walked through the streets of Whitsett in awareness, and as Chief Elgin, Pastor Doug, Sherry Warner, and other speakers professed, this is for the future of Whitsett's children. That is the sound of a metal cross being hammered by many people into the ground where Warren Morris died on the front lawn of his aunt's house last year. He was 35 years old. Family was encircled by the community to mourn and hopefully to begin healing together.
Love you, Warren.
Wish for Ruby in the family.
So the objective for this cross is for families to have a place to come and pray. You can work on making necklaces, you can come up with flowers, whatever it is you want, you can plant a little garden around it, but it's a place where the community, the neighborhood here, the family have a chance to come and let things go. We heard some of the family cry earlier and we got here, and it's so important. We have to heal from this. If that healing requires us to cry, if it requires us to talk about really hard things, then that's what we should be doing to heal. So this place is the first one that we're recognizing now. We want to do many marches in the future to recognize other places, because a lot of people pass away in this community from drug abuse and the drug crisis and their addictions. And we want to recognize them as well. So Warren is one of the precious memories that we have. A lot of people are impacted by his loss. I'm impacted by his loss. I was really good friends with his late dad. So I think it's such an important thing to have a place where we can come and pray, where we can offer prayers to comfort Laura, because her nephew passed away in her yard. He was on his way home to see his mom, and he only made it this far. So it's a place where we can offer prayers for the whole family. There's a lot of people that Warren left behind. His good friends. He has so many good friends. We're all left behind. So it's a place, I think it's important to recognize the fact that we have a beautiful opportunity to just offer prayers now. Come by and drop some flowers off. Even just come by and lay some medicine down or some tobacco down. And just say a few words for the family. The energy that comes from prayers is powerful. A lot of us know just how powerful that is. It's incredibly powerful. So if we can do that for the family and come here and offer prayers once in a while, even if you're coming back from a walk or coming back for a ride, pull over. Come over and just offer prayers. say some prayers for the neighborhood. There's lots of kids that live here. Let's pray for their safety. Let's pray for the elders who are left behind, puzzled, because we're not supposed to be burying our young. But here we are.
Masai to Warner Nizel, Matt Anderson, the families of Warren Morris and Draper Poirier, and to Charmaine Nicole for making this recording possible. And Masai to the community of Whitsett for doing the work to face the challenges in their community and ensuring a safe and healthy future for their next generation.
To Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIS.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Just about time for Gardening with Embark. But before we get to there, Peter R.H. is here. What are you going to be talking about in about 15 minutes?
I'm going to be talking about the situation whereby mainland China told Canada if they drop all the tariffs towards them, they would supposedly drop all the tariffs. One is about the canola oil, the canola farmers. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that the canola oil is about half of it's $43 billion and 206 jobs, but the
206
206,000.
Okay,
and the Canadian auto sector is worth $84 billion, and so what they kind of feel is that they're sort of going towards the auto sector, but I'll be talking more about that a bit.
Okay, we'll be up at that at about 10:50, 13 or 14 minutes from now. But first, it's time for Gardening with Embark. It's time now for Gardening with Embark. Joining me in the studio is Pablo Vimas, Gardens Manager for Embark Sustainability and our Gardens Expert. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So I think we're in week 42 now.
Correct.
Getting very close to the end of the season.
Very close indeed.
And you were noting that already we're seeing some of the cold weather, even a little early.
Yes. So we had quite a good spell of rain a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, the temperature has dropped. And we, down the mountain, we have seen some areas with some icicles. So the water that was in the soil now is all frost. So that really tells us that, yeah, the temperature has dropped in order for the water to convert into ice.
And we're in week 42. Typically, we talk a lot about the different weeks because it's a calendar that helps folks plan their gardening, when to do stuff, when to prepare stuff, when to start, when to finish, when to harvest.
Yes.
You can really use this week numbers, throughout the year to sort of keep yourself on track and know what you need to be looking forward to. One of the numbers you've mentioned a number of times, I think it's week 44 or week 45.
Yes.
Which is when we expect the frost to come. But we're seeing a little bit, maybe a little early.
Maybe a bit early. So, yeah. So we work on weeks, or I work on weeks, and we encourage everybody to work on weeks because we can relate those weeks with civic festivities, town festivities, cultural festivities.
And the school year.
The school year, indeed. And so... And it's easier for us to remember, there is that deadline coming up. Yeah. So for us now is the first frost of the year, and we need to be ready for that. and it's week 45, so around November 11th, everybody remembers TV, radio, news everywhere is November the 11th, and either a week before or a week after, the first frost will be there. So that is, so having a deadline helps us to work towards that and plan and prepare for that. So we don't get like, oh, suddenly, oh, the frost is here and I haven't prepared.
And so just a quick question. So the bit of ice, the bit of frost you saw on the soil, is that different than what we're expecting in a couple of weeks? Because eventually you get to the point where the frost is all over the plants themselves and
yes,
the leaves.
Yes. So at the moment, no. At the moment, it's just a ground level. So it means that the soil is cold now.
Yeah.
So if we are planting seeds, most of the seeds won't germinate.
Right.
Because it's too cold. The temperature might have dropped for a few hours. Mm-hmm. But when we have the first frost, we see the frost on top of the soil, on top of the grass, on top of the leaves, and it lasts for quite a few hours, that frost. So, so that is not yet. We are not at that stage, but at one point the temperature has dropped overnight.
Right.
The other thing that we keep in mind is that when the temperature dips below 10 Celsius, that is when the plants stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no more development of the plants. The plants kind of start now, frost is coming, and their biology start moving the water from the cells and replacing with glycol, which is antifreeze. So the hardy plants like cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, these are the brassicas, they have that ability to create glycol. There's a bit of more sugar in the cells, so to prevent the frost. On the contrary, lettuce don't have that.
Right.
So a first light frost, the lettuce or the cells of the lettuce will freeze because of the water, explode, and the plant is done.
Yeah.
The leaves done. So that's why we can see that during cold winters, kale is just standing there looking gorgeous and say, throw me anything else because I'm just standing here. And it's because it has this capacity to stand the cold weather.
But for things like the lettuce, you need to get that in before that happens.
Before that happens. And then we have a small little herbs like arugula. It can stand a bit of cold weather. And leeks. Yeah, leeks that we plan for having them over the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to our week. So when we started, this was on week 9. Very early in April. And then we've been telling, week 9, remember week May, the long weekend of May 20, week 20 is when we start all our summer crops. Mm-hmm. Then we were saying, week 26, the school ends, and we have to start seeding all our vegetables for the fall. So when we have our, and then week 36 comes after summer break, and then we are like, we need now to make sure that we plant everything that we want from seeds by for the fall and winter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the reason we have all this in weeks. And so if we have started in May, I'm sorry, in April, early in the season, and just planning for the over winter, we can start sowing leeks, but from seeds, because it really is very slow to germinate those seeds.
Yeah.
And the same with the Walla Walla onions, parsnips and scallions. So those take time to grow, so that we start way early in the season in order to plan for the overwintering. May and June, as we mentioned, matching with the end of the school year, and then we can start our kale, our Savoy cabbages, our Swiss chard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Swiss chard very much loves a bit of cold, but once we reach the end of December, kind of all the leaves die. But we have a bit of the fall, at least with that. And in August, we are just coming back to school at mid of August, and then we start with our overwinter onions and spinach, rutabaga, Russian kale. So everything has to be planned. So at this time, in 2 more weeks, our plants will be in a teenager stage. That is how, if we compare it with our life stage of humans, the kale will be in a teenager stage. So just above ground, big enough to stand the cold winter coming, but because it won't grow, it's lower than 10 degrees, and until March next spring, when the temperature suddenly will increase and the plants will just have a boom, growing very fast.
Right. And so this is how you get your your very first crops of the spring. It's what you've done last year.
Correct. So we are now planning in order to have our first crops in the spring. So if you just new to gardening, you will say what I'm planning and what I'm planting in the spring, so you will have to wait until April.
Yeah.
To start something, because we know that by April we don't have any frost. But those who have been gardening 2 or 3 years, they will say, oh, this is the time to put, because, well, you are thinking in April what to plant, I'm already harvesting. And my gardening season has started very quick.
And then, of course, that allows you to really extend, you know, you're starting earlier and getting more produce throughout the year, right?
Correct, yeah. So that's what we call year gardening year-round. And then this time we call extending the gardening season by building hoop houses, by mulching the soil. So that's why we extend.
So part of this process is the mulching as well, which you just...
Yeah, last week we chat about the mulching. And the mulching is important that... So this week is not raining, which is great. Mm-hmm. And so we mulch the soil, which is covering the soil with a layer of any material. And we use leaves because it's easy and available. And in order to cover the soil when it still is warm. Mm-hmm. The soil is still is warm. Because later in December, when the soil is too cold, if you cover, the cold kind of stays in there.
Right.
Yeah, it stays there. So that's what we do now before the fall, before the cold temperature arrives, and before the excessive rain arrives. So we just cover all that. Mm-hmm. And so over the winter, all these leaves will decompose. All these leaves become a habitat for all the living things in the soil, bacteria, fungi, and invertebrates, mainly earworms.
Right.
Because if you say I'm an earworm and my home, everything around me becomes all frost and cold, you certainly will move to an area where it's warmer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the layer of the mulch layer, which is lots of leaves and little cracks in there, and there is food, good environment to overwinter. And so very much we now start in a season where the temperature drops, mm-hmm. the air temperature. So we had to make a difference in here, which is the air temperature and the soil temperature.
Yeah.
They are two different. Well, the air temperature during the summer is high, the soil temperature will be a bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
But here in when transition over winter, the kind of the switch.
Right.
The soil becomes colder than the air. So that's why when we can put seeds, but because it's too cold, nothing germinates.
Do you mean the air is colder than the soil?
The soil is colder than the air over the winter.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, and over the summer, the air will be too hot and the soil will be cooler.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so we have this switch.
Yeah.
So when we talk about frost, we are talking about the air temperature, not the soil temperature, the air temperature. And so when the temperature drops from the air, we can have a light freeze.
Mm-hmm.
So -2, it drops to -2 from 0 to -2, very light, enough to kill the lettuces, unfortunately. But the cabbage and cauliflower, they are doing okay, and kale is just. Then we have a moderate freeze, which goes from -2 to -4.
Yeah.
So -4, -6 degrees, we start feeling, we are just using toques, keeping warm, looking for gloves, and the plants, some of them will just not stand that. So arugula, their peas will start feeling that, and kale and broccoli still happily. And then we have the severe frost, which is below 4-5 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, this temperature will stay... I would say 6-7 hours.
Yeah,
a cold temperature.
Right.
So it's enough for plants to be killed. But the kale is still happy. Parsley as well, doesn't mind if we have snow. But once we go -15, which usually happens here in Vancouver around mid-February,
right.
January is kind of mild, nice, sunny. We get this high spirit, like, oh, it's sunny, it's high. Let's be in the garden. Let's go start planting. But we forget that by mid-February, we have a dump of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And like, ooh, then we have enough for a week that we have -10 degrees.
Yeah.
All our plants will be, even the kale sometimes suffers that. Yeah.
Right.
So if with the air temperature drops like that, during the winter, we will have the soil temperature even colder. So that's why we say, don't work on the soil. No need to work.
Yep.
Everything will be frozen. Everything will be hard. Even holding the soil with your bare hands, you don't want to do that.
But then are those plants gonna when things warm up starting in March, then they're gonna come back and
yeah. They will come back, and the soil will slowly be warming up, mm-hmm. and the plants come back to life, and they will start producing.
So whatever you do, don't dig them all out.
No. There's other things that, because of the soil gets too cold over the winter, that's how, as well, the type of garden bed, the material that you're using for your garden bed is very important.
Yeah.
So that's why we advise to use wood. Because the wood warms up slowly, cools off slowly, it's quite thermal. However, now we are moved to aluminium garden beds.
Yeah.
And aluminium, it really gets hot very quick and gets cold very quick, so loses the temperature very easy, gains and loses temperature very easy. So now we are going to see how it works over this winter. let's see how long it takes for the soil to warm up. Hopefully, the aluminium allows the soil to warm up quickly, but I think as well, overnight, it will get cold very quickly. Right. So it will be this shock of soil temperature.
Right. All right. So winter garden, you actually need to have it in by now.
Yes.
But, thinking for next year, you've got these deadlines or these time frames in April for a certain chunk of plants, and then May and June, sort of midsummer there, mm-hmm. and then again in August to get these plants in.
Correct. Yeah.
And then you're going to see your bounty come March while everyone else is looking at little shoots and waiting for seeds to germinate. You're going to be
harvesting. And enjoying the garden already.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Pablo.
A pleasure to be here.
Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability Society and our gardens expert. How do people find out more about Embark?
Embark Sustainability can be found through our social media channels at Embark Sustainability, or you can visit our website, embarksustainability.org, or come to talk to us here at the Student Union. We're in the room 1310. We are all working here. Happy to see you and talk to you. And if you're interested, we have a gardening cohort running 4 times a year. So the next will be next spring.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Pablo.
See you. Bye-bye.
See you next week.
See you.
Democracy Now! Will be up at the top of the hour at 11 o'clock. But before we get there, Peter, all right, you want to talk about trade?
Yes. Now, recently, mainland China has made the proposal that if Canada drops all the tariffs against mainland China, including the type of electric automobile,
mm-hmm.
that they will not have any tariffs against us.
Right.
Now, why there's sort of a resistance to this is that one of the things is the canola oil, mm-hmm. which goes to.
One of the things China is tariffing is our agricultural products like canola oil.
And so canola is to the Canadian economy is $43 billion, 206,000 jobs. The Canadian auto sector is worth $84 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a few other facts about the situation. Supposedly, and this was, it's a Dr. Tom Copper, a professor of business strategy at Memorial University.
Yeah.
He contends that just 5% tariffs moves operations to the U.S., and he said manufacturer of autos should focus on EVs, batteries, critical minerals, etc., not cheap compasses. Is this a type of car?
Compass, yeah.
Yeah, compass, okay. An investment in what will be here in 15 or 20 years. Now, there's some other deal where supposedly the United States is investing in the mining in Canada of these rare metals, which I mm-hmm. think is a bad idea. We should not.
Should not let the Americans in on that.
No, I'm going to say what I think is. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The other thing is that I think we should. I think there's a problem with those vehicles from mainland China, but they contend that they can get information on people. Have you heard anything about this, Magnus?
Well, not specifically, but people worry about a lot of Chinese IT products and the idea of backdoors. And I mean, that's part of the reason that TikTok was sort of held up in the States, and ultimately there was a forced sort of sale to sell part of TikTok to American investors because of the concerns about information gathering on the part of the Chinese, the company, and then that information will be passed to the Chinese government.
Anyway, so that be as it may, maybe we can block those things. I think we should have no tariffs to mainland China. Not that I'm a, I like mainland China, but we're in a certain situation right now. You're not going to, like, there, no matter what you do to a PTSA, they will do the absolute worst. Mm-hmm. That's been proven. Why not just do what we want to do and say, well, you're going to do the worst anyway? And now, Harold Lutnick told a business audience, I don't know.
And he's the Secretary of Treasury Secretary?
Or Commerce.
Commerce Secretary for the U.S. government, Trump administration.
I don't know whether this is when Canada and the United States, but that's what he said. Canada eventually won't make cars and should think about where else it can create jobs and prosperity. So they want to destroy anyway. So
yes, I think one of the concerns is that already the car industry, the auto industry, is kind of the heart of the U.S. or the Ontario manufacturing sector, one of the biggest and most important sectors, and historically a very successful one. You know, it's under pressure from the U.S. tariffs. You know, one of the things that was in the news just in last week was plans to build a Jeep vehicle in Ontario got moved down to a plant in the States. Yes. The Chinese EVs are, I don't know all the details, but apparently they're very cheap. And if they were allowed in tariff-free, they would completely undercut the North American market.
Well, they wanted to destroy our auto sector, so bring them into Canada, and they've already destroyed us. The other thing is that about as far as Harold Lutnick goes, he prior to you becoming the position, Secretary of Commerce or whatever it is, you either go to the House of Representatives or the Senate, and you meet up, and people ask you questions. And it's on YouTube somewhere where someone asks, do you understand that the auto sector between Canada and the United States are very interconnected? And he says, yes, I do. So he's a liar. Because he said to that person that he would be respecting that. And I think if he can find a legal way of saying, look, you lied, we should get some other person appointed through some legal channel, of international law or whatever.
Yeah.
Because get somebody else, because you lied. That's what you did. Whether this is right or wrong, I think we should have an embargo. We should not sell aluminum to the United States at all. And Brazil has the compound, which has you have to smelt it.
Yeah.
And I would suggest maybe this that they have an embargo of their bauxite.
Yeah.
And basically, we import the Brazilian bauxite to Quebec. We got one here in province of British Columbia, Kitimat, but it's mainly Quebec, and we sell that to the rest of the world, make some sort of deal. Whether that's an entirely feasible concept, I presented to the radio ship.
Yeah, well, one of the weird things about the tariffs, U.S. tariffs on aluminum, is they don't produce enough aluminum for themselves, and they can't really produce enough aluminum for themselves, because part of the process of creating aluminum, smelting aluminum, requires a great deal of electricity, which is why, for instance, there's a smelter up in Kitimat, because they built a dam specifically to generate electricity for that plant, and now they have the dam. And the same thing in Quebec. They have ample, cheap hydroelectric energy, which they can then use to, basically, they don't have that option in the U.S. to do that. So it's weird. But the whole trade thing is pretty complicated. We don't have time to dig more into it now, because we're running out of time.
Of it, I think. I did, at least.
Yep, you absolutely did. All right. Thank you for listening to Speak Up this hour. Speak Up airs every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10 o'clock on CJSF. Daniel will be back on the radio tomorrow at 10 a.m., with a fresh agenda of stories and interviews. So stick around for that. Democracy Now! Is coming up right away. Lots more great programming up here on CJSF all throughout the day, including Wandering Rhythms and Typically Tuesday.